Hey everyone, welcome to another deep dive. And this time, we're doing something a little different.
Different, good, different, I hope.
Oh, definitely. You see, we're ditching the typical biography format, you know, the whole boring list of dates and accomplishments. Who wants to hear that, right?
Right. Much more fun to get inside someone's head.
Exactly. And that's what we're doing today. We're diving headfirst into the mind of Clemens Lynchinger.
Through his autobiography.
You got it. We're going straight to the source. And let me tell you, he doesn't hold back. It's not your typical autobiography, though.
Oh, how so?
Well, it's structured almost like a journey of self-discovery. Each experience, from his childhood in Vienna to like his later activism, it all kind of feeds into his worldview, you know, how he sees the world.
Fascinating. So it's less about what he did and more about how it shaped him.
Exactly. And speaking of Vienna, he talks about the city's cynical humor, you know, that dark, dry wit.
I do love a bit of dark humor.
Well, Lynchinger says it's practically woven into his DNA. He even calls himself a cultural output of Vienna. It's like he's acknowledging that sense of place, that Vienna made him who he is.
Definitely. It speaks to his self-awareness. He's a product of his environment, shaped by it, but also actively shaping his own path.
Totally. And we see this so clearly in his early rejection of religion. He talks about how it wasn't this big dramatic thing, no sudden conversion story.
More of a slow burn then.
Yeah. He describes it as this carefully considered, reasoned rejection of religious texts.
Interesting. What prompted that, I wonder?
Well, he talks about how he approached it with the same logic he would apply to, like a legal case.
Makes sense, given his background. Although, you wouldn't know it from how enthusiastically he talks about law school. He calls it the best time of his life. Not what you typically hear from law students, is it?
Right. You'd expect more complaining about the workload, but no, he's clearly passionate about ideas, even those that are, you know, traditionally considered serious.
It's refreshing. And, you know, he connects law back to the human condition, to conflicts, complexities, how people interact.
Yeah.
He doesn't see it as just a bunch of dry rules. Really speaks volumes.
He seems drawn to those human elements, wouldn't you say? But then also disillusioned by them. Like, take his military service, for instance. He absolutely hated it. Called it pointless, even.
Strong words. Everyone I know who did national service said it was character building.
Oh, he definitely built some kind of character there, that's for sure. But not in the way they intended. He even tells this story, almost comical, where he's deemed unfit to be a medic because he's clumsy.
Oh, no. Poor guy.
Right. Even in these serious situations, his sense of humor comes through.
That self-deprecating humor. Definitely a recurring theme we're seeing. But his time in the military, it was a turning point too, don't you think?
Absolutely. Remember, he wanted to help people. He even tried to get a position on their phone helpline, you know, providing support, being that empathetic ear.
Makes sense. More his speed than, well, battlefield medicine, apparently.
Right. But get this. They rejected him because he wasn't religious. Can you believe that?
Oh, wow. Talk about a reality check. You have to wonder, did that experience push him even further towards secularism?
Talk about a slap in the face, right? It really makes you think about those early experiences he talked about. Remember how he encountered all that hypocrisy in those religious institutions?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like that old saying, once bitten, twice shy. This feels like a defining moment for his views on secularism.
Totally. It's like he took that negative energy and used it to fuel his commitment to a society based on reason, you know? A society that values critical thinking instead of just blind faith.
And that leads us right into his time in government, doesn't it? A period, it seems, that really left its mark on him.
He doesn't sugarcoat it, that's for sure. He's very open about the corruption he witnessed.
And that with us or against us mentality he talks about, that sense that you couldn't question anything.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a constant battle, like he was always on edge. But even though it was a negative experience overall, there's this interesting side effect.
Oh, what's that?
His time working in the EU department specifically, it kind of turned him into this expert almost by accident.
So even though it was a negative experience, it ended up having this unexpected benefit. He was able to turn those challenges into opportunities for growth.
Precisely. Leaving government, though, that was a huge risk, no doubt. But it allowed him to align his work with his personal values, you know. He was his own boss, setting his own terms. But it wasn't just about personal freedom for Lynchinger. He found real fulfillment in using his legal expertise to help others.
And that's where that story about the mosque comes in, right?
Exactly. Talk about putting your money where your mouth is. You have an atheist and a Jewish lawyer teaming up to defend the construction of a mosque. I mean, wow, right?
That's incredible. It really shows you the depth of his commitment to principles, to doing what's right, even when it goes against his own personal beliefs or what people might expect of him.
Totally. He was fighting for fairness, for equality, and it's like he took all those negative experiences, those times he faced discrimination for not being religious, and channeled them into something positive, something that could make a real difference in the world.
It's really inspiring.
And you know, it ties into this broader theme of humanism that we see throughout his story, wouldn't you say?
Definitely. Though he's quick to point out that he's not your typical humanist.
Right. He pushes back against that label a bit.
He doesn't see humans as above everything else on some pedestal. It's more nuanced than that.
He actually uses the term anthropocentrist at one point to describe his viewpoint.
Interesting. It's like he's acknowledging the inherent value of humanity, but
also recognizing that we're just one part of this much larger system, right?
Exactly. And that we have a responsibility to that system, to the planet and other species.
Yeah.
Something we all grapple with these days.
Especially with climate change and everything. It makes you think, can you really champion human rights while also respecting the planet?
A tough question, one without easy answers. But I think what Lynchinger shows us is that you don't need all the answers to live a meaningful life.
It's more about the journey.
Right. Exactly. It's about constantly asking questions, being willing to challenge your own beliefs.
And to sit with those contradictions, those gray areas, he doesn't shy away from that.
No, he leans into it.
Right.
And that's what makes him so fascinating. He's a real person, flaws and all.
Absolutely. And speaking of contradictions, we can't overlook his unwavering commitment to reason and critical thinking.
Like a constant throughout his life.
This is a guy who literally helped create an evolution trail in Austria.
Wait, really? An evolution trail?
Yep. It's a whole thing. He wanted to promote scientific literacy, challenge dogma, you know, get people thinking critically about the world around them. And he did it in this really tangible, hands-on way.
That's incredible. It really shows you the power of walking the walk, not just talking the talk. What an inspiration.
It really makes you think about how we define ourselves, you know? Like, are we just our beliefs? Mm-hmm. Or is there more to it than that?
Right. It's those nuances, those contradictions that make us human.
And Lynchinger, he really embraces that. He's not afraid to challenge those easy labels, those neat little boxes we try to put ourselves in.
Exactly. And that's something we can all learn from, this idea that it's okay to be a work in progress, to embrace the unknown, and to keep asking those tough questions.
No easy answers, that's for sure. Mm. But I think that's what makes this deep dive so compelling, you know? We're left with more questions than answers, but in a good way, I think. It sparks your curiosity.
It does. It makes you want to go out and do your own exploring, to look at the world with fresh eyes.
And maybe even examine our own lives, right? Our own experiences, our own contradictions.
Absolutely. What shaped us? What are we passionate about? What are those things that we hold on to even when they don't make sense on the surface?
It's been a wild ride exploring the life and mind of Clemens Lynchinger, that's for sure. And if you're interested in learning more, I highly recommend checking out his autobiography.
Definitely worth a read.
It's a fascinating glimpse into the mind of a truly unique individual. And on that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring and keep asking those big questions.